have your Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And what we'll be picking back up at, we finished last week on chapter 6. So, anyway, you have one of them days when you're just struggling? I'm having one of them days, okay? So, if it looks like I don't know what I'm doing, it's because I don't. So, anyway, I don't know why, but anyway. But we all, hopefully we'll get through this. I'm entitled to sermon, Marriage and the Body. And I'm going to tell you the theme here is, we need the right view of marriage and the body. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, last week we talked about victory over the body. And when you're married, there's a body involved. So, and you say, well, where do you get that, theme from? Well, in verses 1 through 9 in chapter 7, you'll see here that the word husband or wife is used around 9 times. And the word body is used twice in verse 4. Okay, so that kind of, already, that, you know, that kind of simplifies it. You got marriage, and then you have a body. And doesn't take long to realize that Paul is specifically addressing marriage and the physical relationship. And doesn't take long, you'll see here, that in verse 1, it says here the word touch. And then it also says the word have. Both of them words, if you do a word study, you'll find out that both of them statements have to do with a sexual relationship. Now, obviously, in the context here, you know that last week we talked about fornication. So we're still dealing with sexual issues, which Paul has been dealing with in chapter 5. In chapter 5, we know that he introduces the problem of incest. So although I'll just address the elephant in the room, and no one really likes to talk about sexual issues, especially in the church, which I think is sad because not mean the only people who've talked about it are the perverts. And we need a biblical view of marriage, a body, physical, even sexual issues. And that's exactly what's happening here. So in the next 9 verses are addressing one statement in verse 1. Look in verse 1, it says this. It says, whereof you wrote unto me. So that means that they wrote this to Paul. And he said, it is not good for a man, or it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, we will progress in this sermon to address that statement. Well, obviously, I already said it. The word touch, it don't mean physical touch. It ain't talking about a sexual nature. So I want to look today at the right view of marriage and the body. Number one, the deception of marriage. The deception in marriage. Now, basically, I can sum it up like this. Basically, here's the deception. I can do what I want. I can do what I want, okay? So let's go through this. Here's the condition. A church had a major problem with sexual sin. Paul used the word fornication 10 times through chapter 5, verse 1 to chapter 7, verse 1. He also used the word adultery. Obviously, we know this is sex outside of marriage. Here's their attitude. In chapter 6, verse 13, we talked about this last week, but here's their attitude. Here's the condition of the church. Meat for the belly, and belly for the meat. So basically, here it was, their attitude towards sex was, it is a human desire. And it should be satisfied like eating. And basically, their attitude was, you can have a physical relationship with whoever you want. Well, Paul's approach was this, quit treating sex that way. And he said in verse 18, in chapter 6, that it's a sin, and he said this, you are to stop. Because of the condition, this came and led some to an extreme conclusion. Here's the conclusion. Y'all ready? Celibacy. Basically, what they came to, that's what verse 7 says, when a man does not have a relationship, a physical relationship, with a woman. That's what verse 1 said, it is not good for a man to touch a woman. That word touch refers to a sexual relationship. And this applied also to married people. So what happened? There was an extreme. Man, just look at the world, just do whatever you want to. Jump in the bed with whoever you want to. But this side said, well, you're not in a multi-field relationship even with your husband or wife. And that's what it said in verse 2, Luke. In verse 2 said, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have, that's a sexual word there, to have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So what happened here is that there was a problem caused in the marriage. Because they had said, one of the spouses said, we should not have a physical relationship at all. It's wrong. And this led to a problem. Because verse 2 it said, to avoid fornication. So I won't read my long quote here, but it is indicated, or it's speculated, I guess I should say, that one of the reasons that Saul was fornicating and with prostitutes was because in their marriage, one of the spouses had said this. We're not having a physical relationship. And so Paul here said, no, he corrects them. He corrects them on this conclusion. They come to the conclusion that they said, that one of the spouses said this, we're not going to have sexual relations. And here's the correction. Paul says this, no, that is not right. Paul said this, he said a man is supposed to have his own wife, and why is to have her own husband. Paul said quite the opposite to their extreme conclusion. He said that a husband and wife are to actually, the word, if you look at the 10, it says to continue to have physical relationship. Now here's the application. In the conclusion, Paul said this. The Corinthians said this. All sex is banned. Paul's conclusion was this. Sex inside of marriage needs to be practiced. And that needs to be said. Because I get so sick and tired. I see people do these dramas. And they'll put, you know, they'll put, I'm drunken, I'm Steve, and then they'll put sex. Let me tell you something. Sex is not wrong. Adultery, sex outside of marriage is wrong. And we need to differentiate that when we talk to kids. We need to let them make sure that they understand that. So, you see the condition? We see the conclusion. Now let's look at the concern. See, I'm concerned that, like these people, we are deceived. I'm afraid that we as a whole have become deceived about sex and marriage. And it is important because the deception about sex has ruined and is ruining marriages. Here's deception number one. I put this up. Here it is. I think I did. I may not. I can't remember now if I did or not. It is okay to have sex outside of marriage. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not okay. And I know I'm looking at some of the faces like, but this is what Paul's addressing. And I'm not going to sidestep it. And we live in, I don't care what Hollywood says, I don't care what music says, I don't care what your friends say, I don't care just because your granddaughter or grandson is practicing sex outside of marriage, it's not okay. That's deception number one. And we have a group of people, in the Corinthian church that were saying it's okay to have sex outside of marriage. And we have a group of all society says that today, we're being deceived. I want you to understand that's not okay. Deception number two. Well, I'll say this. Christians every day are destroying marriages because they're being deceived over this very point. And the TV shows basically make it out to be that if you're not having an affair, then you're not living life. That is wrong. And it's a lie. Deception number two. And that is okay not to have sex inside of marriage. That's what's happening here. And that some of the people have been deceived thinking, we are not to have sex inside of marriage. Here's the thing. That is exactly what they were saying, and Paul corrected that. Marriages get destroyed because spouses have become deceived that it is okay not to have sex inside of marriage. I'll say this. Sex does not make a marriage. But a good marriage doesn't involve sex. I'm going to say it. Here's the thing, to be honest with you, more men are probably deceived by the first point, and more women are probably deceived by the second one. But both deceptions are deadly to marriage. My concern is that we may be on the verge of being deceived. I knew it was going to be a heavy sermon. That's okay. I'm not going to shy away from it. We see the deception in marriage. Number two, let's look at the duty of marriage. We have a problem here. Here's the problem. Look at verse 2. The Corinthians were defrauding each other of their sexual rights. Look at verse 2. It says here, nevertheless, to avoid fornication. So see, some were defrauding or stealing or robbing from their marriage because of what they were doing outside of marriage. Fornication. The second group was robbing and defrauding their spouse by what they wouldn't do inside of marriage. One was saying fornication, and the other is saying celibacy. Here's the thing, both of them were a problem. Basically, he said in verse 4, and he said in verse 3, or he said verse 2, excuse me, he said, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. And let the husband render to the wife due benevolence, and let also the wife unto the husband. Here's the thing. There's a mutual obligation by the husband and the wife in the end to have a physical relationship. And what I read, I will quote this, neither partner had a right without good cause to refuse the other. So here's the question. That's the problem. So here's the question. How do we ensure that we're fulfilling our duty? And by the way, I'm going to apply this more than just a physical relationship. So stay with me. Because this principle in marriage goes a lot further than just a physical. So stay with me. Here's the principle. Recognize the authority over your body. Verse 4 says this. The wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise, also the husband has not power over her own body. So, when it comes to the physical relationship, and when it comes to any other principle or any other aspect in the marriage, the principle that you have to learn and to understand that you don't have power over your body. I ain't getting a good principle. Think about it. I thought about this, Brother Darryl. Okay, my wife has power over my body. So let's say for a minute, I decide I need to talk to somebody because this is just everybody's just kind of looking like I feel like I'm talking to third graders. So I thought we were adults in here. So anyway, but you know, I knew it was going to be that way. Let's say I want to have an affair. Well, who do I have to get permission to have an affair? My wife. Hey, honey, can you mind if I have an affair? No. Not a bad principle, is it? When you realize that I don't have authority over my body. And vice versa. The spouse that declares celibacy has to say, well, I don't have authority over my body. Now, don't get me wrong. That is not an excuse for abuse, okay? I ain't even read that. I ain't got quote. This principle is not to be used as abuse, but for a healthy marriage. This principle keeps a spouse from refusing the other, but it also keeps the spouse from cheating on the other. I mean, you can say you get mad, you want to, but I didn't read this, but I know this. I'm smart. I've heard it. Two of the biggest reasons for divorce is sexual issues and money. So it needs to be addressed. So the first principle to ensure that you're fulfilling your duty in marriage is to recognize the authority over your body, but secondly, develop the right attitude about your body. Look at verse 5. Here's the attitude. Defraud ye not one, the other, except for a consent of time. By the way, that goes back to what he said when some of them had declared celibacy. He said, yeah, you can declare celibacy, both of you, for a certain time for fasting and prayer. That's the content. In case you want to argue with me later that I'm not preaching content. That's the content. Content is that they have declared celibacy. One of the spouses had. That's the content. He said, defraud ye not one another. The word defraud means the idea of robbing or cheating. Now, here's the thing. we develop the right attitude. The right attitude that you should have about your body is that I'm not going to rob my spouse. I'm not going to rob my spouse. And I'll get ahead of myself here, but I'll say it anyway. You know, why'd you get married then? I don't say it like that. Why'd you get married then if you're going to rob your spouse? Why'd you get married? People have that attitude. Well, I'm not doing anything with them. Why? So you should have got married. Here's the thing, due to the context, the only duty that we have focused on is the physical relationship between a man and a woman. However, there's more to it than that. Now, I'm going to say something here, and I'm going to be real honest, and you may not like this. And I got a book to back me up, so that's all I hear, right, brother? These are the facts that men tend to be more interested in the physical relationship compared to women. So you may be sitting there and say, well, this is great. My wife needs to hear this. I'll just say, I've been married 3 years, and I've got friends who've been married 5, and it is already one of the complaints I've heard from some of my friends. Because men do, and I'll prove it to you. His Needs, Her Needs. Good book. It says, How to Build a Prayer-Proof Marriage. The first thing he cannot do without is sexual fulfillment. All right, so I'm getting somewhere, so stay with me. So it's no doubt that, you know, most men, but man, it's a great sermon. But there's more, I wrote this down somewhere. There's more to your marriage and body than just a physical relationship. So what do you mean? Let me read her first need. The first thing she cannot do without is affection. Uh-oh. So, let's say one thing, there's only one interpretation. That is, a spouse is not to say no to the other spouse in the bedroom. That's the one interpretation. That's it. But there's many applications from this principle that I'm not supposed to rob my spouse. I don't have authority. So when my wife wants a hug, I should give her a hug. That involves my body. Let me read the next second one. The second thing that she cannot do without is intimate conversation. So when my wife wants to talk, that's my body, right? It's my ears, right? That's not, when she says, I need to talk, she has authority over me. See, if I apply this principle, not just in the bedroom, but in every aspect of my life, and when she says, I need you to talk to me, I need you to listen, and I should say this, well, I don't need to rob her of intimate conversation. She has authority over my body. So I didn't stop last night. She tried to talk to me during a football game. I failed. I'll be honest with you. I robbed her. I did not listen. I said, get out of the way. I'm watching the game. But that's the thing. This principle goes much further than the bedroom. Let me read this to you, women. The second thing he cannot do without is recreational companionship. He don't want somebody just to talk to him all the time. He wants somebody to do stuff with. If you haven't noticed, men do stuff together. When I call my friend, I say, what do you want to do? We don't just go to the coffee shop and talk. That involves the body, but it don't involve the bedroom, does it? And ladies, my wife does a great job. She goes fishing with me. She'll get up early. But yeah, men want a companion. They want a buddy. They want a pal. And we can go on and on and on. But I'm proving my point here that this principle can be applied in so many ways. Here's the thing. I'm afraid that we have a lot of duties in marriage, not just in the bedroom. But if we don't learn these two principles, we will rob them and we are not going to fulfill our duty. But here's the thing. How do I ensure that I am fulfilling this duty in marriage? Whether it's a physical relationship or in just everyday life, here's how. By remembering two things. Remember that your spouse has authority. And remember to have the attitude that I don't want to rob my spouse. And I tell you, if you have them principles, then in every aspect of your life, in your marriage, it'll be working like it's supposed to. So we see the deception of marriage. We see the duty of marriage. Now let's see the decision not to marry. Here's the thing. First thing I'm going to put. Let's read verse 7. Hold on. Verse 7, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man had his proper gift of God, one after the manner and after another. I say therefore to the unmarried and widowed, it is good for them, if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Here's the thing. I put this down. Number one, it is okay not to marry. And I can get really passionate about this. Because I was single until 30. I got married when I was 30. So I feel like I've lived a large portion of, well, not a long, but a part of my adult life, not a teenager, an adult. Going to going to work each day, going home, graduating college. I live a big portion of my, or a small portion of my adult life as a single person. And it is very frustrating when people say, are you dating anybody? Like you got the plague. Like, well, what's wrong with you? Why are you not married? And we live in a southern society where everybody's supposed to get married. And if you don't get married, you're weird. Well, what I'm saying here, Paul said, it's okay not to marry. And here's another thing, too, I've always got to drift from. Now, you just can't live life to the fullest if you're not married. That's a lie, too. And I want you to say, here's the thing, that Paul said here, it is good to remain unmarried. Here's the thing, it's okay. It's okay not to be married, but it is not okay to have physical relationship. Letter B, it is not okay to have sex. Here's the thing, this is what it says in verse 9. If you cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to be to marry than to burn. Here's the thing, it is fine for you not to be married. But it is not okay for you to go around sleeping with people. Go back to point number one. It is not okay. I'm sick. And we live in a society that you can be single and have friends with benefits. That is a lie from hell. That is unbiblical. That is a sin. I don't care how you slice it. That is it's a sin. It's fine not to get married. It's fine if you're, you know, not married now. But if you go sleeping around, it's a sin. It's a sin. There's no other way to slice that. And that's when he said that, yeah, it is fine for you not to get married, but it's not okay for you to have sex. And I think we all need to take that stance. Let's not compromise. I know we are, as a whole, we're compromising on that. I mean, we can't control what someone else does, but we can control what we say about it. Let's stay strong in a sin. When it comes to marriage and the body, three things we're doing. In conclusion, number one, don't be deceived. If you're married today, don't be deceived. It's not okay to have sex outside of marriage. And it's not okay not to have sex inside of marriage. God created it. That's how God designed it. And I don't understand that. I know somebody will come to me and have a something. Well, you just don't know. Maybe not. But I don't understand that on either man or woman. Just like I had to tell myself this. If I don't want to listen to my wife, then why did I get married? I had to tell myself that. You know, if I don't want to listen to her, you know, sometimes she exasperates me sometimes. And I think it might be a woman thing, because my dad complained about the same thing. At least my wife and my mother are talking about the same thing over and over and over and over. And I don't understand it. I don't know if it's a woman thing. But I mean, we went out with Cam and Miranda on Wednesday night, and my wife asked me something that we already talked about 20 times. And I'm not talking about it again. So that's a principle. You know, that's the thing. If you don't want to have a physical relationship, if you don't want to listen, if you don't want to spend time, then why did you get married? You didn't understand it. Okay, maybe so. But here's the thing. You're married now, and God said what he put together shouldn't be asunder. Shouldn't be divided. Like one preacher said, he said, well, I think I married the wrong person. He said, you may have, but he's the right person for you now. And once you get married, they're now God's the one that God intended you to be with. God still don't like divorce. Just saying. Like, you know, well, I understand. Hey, I think it's great. People can be restored. But God didn't want divorce. That was not God's plan from the beginning. That's why we're in such a big mess we're in now. Anyway, I'm kind of getting off my notes, which I knew I might. Number 2. Remember your duty. And in a context. In the context, it is directly talking about the physical relationship. You have a duty to each other, physically. But we understand there's more than one duty in marriage. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of duties in marriage. So how do we make sure we're fulfilling that? Remember, your spouse has authority. And develop the attitude that I'm not going to rob my spouse. And then number 3, in the context here, is number 3, it's okay not to get married. But it's not okay to sleep around. And the piano player comes up, and they begin to play. And it's probably not the most popular sermon. And that's okay. But I made a commitment to preach the Word of God. And that's what we've done today. And I don't know about you, maybe, hey, God spoke to my heart. Because when I don't think about that, about robbing your spouse, and about, you know, that they have possession of you, I thought, man, even last night, I did do one good thing. I didn't do it with the right attitude. When I was watching the game, my wife wanted to show me something. And I did stop for about 20 seconds. Better than I had. I'm working on it. But I thought, even last night, that, you know, that's so true. They have authority over us in every aspect of my life. And when I don't listen, it goes both ways, and I'm robbing her. She chose to marry me and live with me. And for me to be her best friend, for me to listen, and me be compassionate. So when I forget that she has authority over me, then I'm not fulfilling my duty. Hey, today it might not be just a physical issue, physical relationship issue. And it might be, but it might not be. The principle will apply. So if we stand to our feet, as they begin to play, if God spoke in your heart, I want to ask you to talk to Him right now. Hey, I'll say it like this. I've said it's funny how I started off with fornication and I ended with fornication. Who knew? Think? God did not intend for you to have sex outside of marriage. I know that when you can watch TV shows, you be careful what the kids watch. Because even as teenagers, I remember watching a show as a teenager where they promoted teenagers sleeping around with each other. It's not okay. It is wrong. And they begin to complain if God spoke to your heart.